declaration.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Good evening. This is On Track with Henrietta Bird and my co-host, Glenn Greenwich, Clara Devine, and Chakasha Showers. This is the International Black Summit Talk Radio. And this is the first Sunday of the month, so we're checking to see who's on track. And actually, this month, we're talking to people who have been on track and stayed on their individual track. As we always do at the International Black Summit, any of our meetings or our gatherings or our events, we begin with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And that will be spoken tonight by Clara Lyons Devine.
Thanks, Henrietta. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this declaration statement was created at the first formal summit event in Atlanta, Georgia, 1991, and continues to presence itself today in this moment in me and our guests and all over the world.
A moment of silence. Thank you. Again, welcome to July 2009 and the International Black Summit Talk Show. And tonight we're on track with Henrietta Bird, Clara Lyons Devine, and Glenn Greenwich. Is Chakasha? Yeah, Chakasha's on also. Chakasha Showers. I think she's in Atlanta. Glenn's in New York. Claire's in New Jersey, and I'm in Chicago. So we welcome everyone, and our lines are lit up tonight. That's so wonderful. People taking time from their wonderful holiday weekend. Our show this evening is about, we'd like to honor and talk to people who have made that, taken that extra effort and stayed on track. We're going to listen to the strategies they use, the principles, their techniques, you know, different things that they do to stay on track. Before we do that, I'd just like to bring you up to date on some of the events that are occurring in the International Black Summit other than the talk show. Our major event is held the first weekend in August every year, and this particular year on July 30th, and it's held in London, England. You can find out all the information you need about the summit event and any events that lead up to that event at blacksummit.org. That's blacksummit.org. And you can email us, you can, you know, ask questions, and someone will get back to you as well. Our call-in number tonight for this show is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. If you press the number one button on your telephone, that is like raising your hand, and we'll know that you want to speak or you want to share with the group. So feel free at any time to do that. Glenn, you had a saying about the show tonight. We usually talk about being off track and how we get back on track, but this show is about those who have been on track. You know, they've focused. Not saying they didn't derail at any time, but that they focused just over the last 6 months, because, you know, we usually focus on our New Year's resolutions and are we sticking with them and are we still working on them? Have we just thrown them over in the corner? But tonight we're going to talk to several people who have focused to the degree that their health is on track, you know, their professions are on track, their relationships. And the two couples we had scheduled, which we'll have to come on another time, are both vacationing. Actually, one couple is celebrating their first anniversary, and the other couple is on vacation. And I'd like to begin tonight with the information that I received from them, because they did allow an interview earlier today. And these are, well, let me just talk about one at a time. First, there's a couple who have been together 24 years and kind of moved up the corporate ladder, both the husband and the wife. And about 3 years ago, maybe four, well, actually it was exactly 4 years ago, the husband was given a promotion and actually promoted to president of the company, but another location. So the family packed up and they moved to this other location. And at the very time, you know, he received the promotion, his oldest child, they have two children, his oldest child was entering college. And so it wasn't a big deal for her to move, but they have a son who was in probably seventh or eighth grade at the time. So the family packs up and they move, from a suburb of Chicago to a suburb of Boston, Massachusetts. And they were there approximately 2 weeks, and the company was sold to some other company, and the husband was without a job. And so that was why I thought this would be interesting for everyone to kind of follow how they made it through a very challenging time, because here you've kind of moved your family and it's interesting because the wife worked for a major corporation also, and when she put in for a transfer, was given a promotion with that company because they not only did they need her, they needed her in a higher position in that suburb that she was moving to. So she, along with her husband, got a promotion, but only to find out a couple of weeks after they arrived that the husband's job was gone. And so what occurred for them was they had to make a decision, you know, what to do. They had sold their home. They had purchased a new home. And the son was enrolled in the school. And, you know, it was like, ugh. So what they did was, you know, they found another job. So, I mean, that's basically what happened. The husband found another job. And the job happened to be in another state. And so what they decided to do was to stay in Massachusetts, allow the son to do his high school there, because it was a, you know, they felt it was a good school system and everything. The wife took the job that she was offered, and the husband took the job that he was offered in another state. And so now what occurs is the husband is out of state from Monday to Friday, and he comes home every weekend. And so, of course, my questions to the couple earlier today was, how did you do it? You know, how did you make it through all of that, you know? And
radio program.
Hello?
I decided to use
Can you mute your phone?
So we have like 8 callers listening, and I'll mute everybody. And
okay.
Guests are also online, just so you know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, they have a it's not a real long distance. You know, it's about an hour plane ride. And so my question was, how did you, you know, what did you do? How did you do it? And she said, we just had to make a decision. And she said it put us in a situation where we had to communicate. We would say in the summit authentically. You know, we had to tell each other how upset we were. You know, we had to share our feelings, our hurts, our pains, our anxieties. And she said, you know, we really began to communicate at a much greater level. She said, now we talk on the phone, because I said, how do you maintain this marriage, you know, that had been an everyday, you know, kind of seeing the person every day to seeing the person on the weekend, seeing each other on the weekend? And the response was, we talk about everything. We call each other regardless, you know, whether we're together or not, because they're not together 5 days a week. We communicate about everything. And she said, we send text messages, emails, and telephone, and we call each other about everything that we do. And so communication is the strategy or the technique, I'll say, that they use. And they you know, they communicate regularly. And she said, we probably communicate more now than we did before. Well, when I talked to the couple who I told you earlier about, who's celebrating their first anniversary, and I asked them, you know, what one thing is it that you think you've focused on regularly that had you make it through this first year? Because when you see them, they're like, oh my God, they're like the couple, you know, that excitement, that this, you know, all of that. And that's not unusual for the first year, but what's unusual about it is that they were separated also for 6 months, where he was in a different place, she was in a different place, and she was not at her home, in her hometown. And so, and they were separate also. And the when I asked them to answer that question, the response I got from them was blatant communication. You know, that's how they put it. They said, you have to communicate just you know, like whatever it is, you must say it to each other, you know. And so I'm getting that people who stay on track in relationships communicate. You know, that's my synopsis of this, you know, these two interviews that I have. Do you have any responses or questions or anything about that, Glenn? What do you think about that?
I'm not surprised, because one of the things that you look at and that conversation around communication can be around relationships, can be around your job, your profession, it really is about anything. And so if you're looking to it's about communicating, and there's something about authentic communication, which is communicating the essence of what it is that you want, that you need, and that you and what your intention is. So I'm not surprised.
Okay. Claire, what do you say?
Well, we've got quite a few callers on, so I'd like to invite our callers here.
Okay.
So
and we have a hand up.
You're out there and you're listening. You'd like to share what you think it takes to for people to be on track with their relationship, press 1 on your telephone, and you know, then share with us what it is you think.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller with their hand up at an 856 area code. 685-656-685, you're on the air.
I believe that's Ms. Kiara. Kiara, do you have something that you'd like to share about being on track with relationships?
I would like to share that you have to put in equally as much as your partner does.
Okay.
Okay. That's an interesting observation. And I agree. Do you think that's it's difficult to do?
Not really. Mostly you have to find out what your partner likes and then find out what you like. It's best to find out what you guys have in common. That way you know you're in a good relationship.
Okay. And you think it can stay on track that way?
Yes.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. And so, you know, it looks like communication is the key. And I think it's a communication at a different level. You know, it's not, you know, it's not just what we call communicating. It's, I think it's deeper than that. I think it's kind of like the response from the 1 year anniversary couple. You know, it's blatant communication. Blatant communication was the word, you know, that they used. It's like, you know, whether you want to say it or not, whether you want to hear it or not. You know, that kind of communication, the kind of communication that you might have to walk away from for a moment and think about and come back, you know, come back to. Is there anybody else who would like to join in to this conversation on relationship communication?
This is Clara. I actually like to share something. One of the things that we discussed at the International Black Company is something called authentic listening.
Yes.
And it's, you know, really is a space of listening another person so you get what they're saying and get what they're about. And I think that really impacts how you communicate with them, because if you listen in different ways, like we might listen our parents one way, you know, we might listen our children another way, we might listen our friends, you know, another way in terms of our level of tolerance and patience, you know. So we listen people differently, and I think to the extent that we really hear what it is another person is saying to us, it impacts our communication with them, how authentically we listen to them.
Yeah. And the other thing I think we talked about with authentic listening was, you know, listening to hear, it was another level, like listening to get your answer. You know, it's almost like the person is speaking for you. You know, they're speaking for in a manner that you can get something answered, you know, get a question answered that you have. But it's that authentic listening, not listening and waiting for them to pause so you can respond. not like that, but really listening to hear what it is that they're speaking to you. Because whenever you're in communication with something, true communication, it's a mutual thing, and what it is that you need to know, that person really has to tell you. But it's for you, you know, to listen without judgment, you know, without attachment, I think, is the other word.
We have a caller at 773-374.
Right. Yeah, she's actually the other, she's the next guest, actually. She's the next guest. So if there's not any more communication about relationships, I don't see any other hands up. Let me say that this is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and you're on track with Henrietta Byrd, Glenn Grinch, Claire Lyons Devine, and Tracacia Showers, all co-hosts of the International Black Summit Talk Radio. The call-in number for tonight is 646-716-9827. And if you share this program with others, please let them know that they can listen to it at any time after the show has ended just by going to Blog Talk Radio and going to International Black Summit, or they can go, they can search On Track with Henrietta Byrd and just put the date in of the program that they want to hear. Let's move to our next guest, and she's the 773 number at the bottom, number 11. Frances Swope?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Good. Frances is our guest tonight who is on track with her health. I call her mom, all right, because she is actually soon to be a great, great grandmother, okay? And her great granddaughter is an adult child, okay? And Frances line dances how many times a week?
Two times a week.
Two times a week. And tell her, what else do you do?
I do cardiac therapy two or three times a week.
Okay. And what else do you do? Just tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm just a homemaker. I stay home, and I belong to clubs, and I shop, and I take care of myself, and go to church, belong to clubs. I live a good life.
A good life, right. You should see her. I didn't hear you.
I said, yes, I do. I live a real good life, a good, clean life. I've always, I don't smoke and I don't drink, but I do like to have fun.
Okay.
Go to movies, dance, whatever.
Uh-huh. And like, as far as your health is concerned, well, we know you exercise a lot because you dance, you know.
Yes.
And that's great exercise. But and you also have... What, three adult children,
correct.
And how many grandchildren?
I have about nine grandchildren.
Okay, and how many great-grand?
And I have about eight or nine great-grandchildren, so
okay.
I have a big family.
Yeah.
And we get together at holiday time and have dinner over to my house. I cook, and we just enjoy living.
Okay.
We enjoy each other. It's great fun for family members to stay together and play together.
Okay.
And work with God together, too. I go to church. That's very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, like, tell us about your, like, do you eat certain foods? I mean, do you have a controlled diet? Do you eat whatever you want?
I eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat much salt, but everything else. I eat about three meals a day, And I cook for myself. I like greens, cabbage, spinach, all the good vegetables and fruits. And I cook because I like to eat, and I like to eat good tasting food.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So how do you think, you said you live a clean life, and when you say that, you mean?
I never drank or smoked. I mean,
okay.
That just hasn't been a part of my life. I mean, I've been around alcoholic people who drink, and that has really turned me against drinking. I mean, some of my relatives, they would act such nuts, you know, when they be drinking and fussing and arguing and carrying on. So that really turned me against drinking. You know, as a little girl, you know, when you're exposed to stuff like that, it just changes your life, makes you swear that you'll never do anything like that.
That's great. That's such a lesson for, I mean, you know, that is such a, you know, it's not always a good experience when you're going through it, but what you've gotten out of it is certainly good,
right.
You know.
And smoking just never appealed to me. I know when I was a young girl, a girlfriend would sneak and smoke cigarettes. She was about 12 years old. She'd take them out of her mother's pocketbook, and I'd sit in the bathroom with her while she'd be taking her puffs. But it never appealed to me to smoke, so I never did start that habit. And my mother or my grandmother, none of them smoked. So I think when you're not around it, then that doesn't make you want to do it. Her mother smoked, so I guess that's why she felt it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, of course, smoking is all right if that's what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But it's never been a part of my life. And I think that's another good health, too.
What about doctor's visits? Do you go to the doctor regularly?
Yes, I go to the doctor about twice a year and have be examined. And I go to the dentist about two or three times a year. I keep up my health pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I'm pretty healthy, I would say.
And do you do, like, meditation or any, I mean, you know, like, spiritual work? I know you said you go to church.
I do.
But,
I had been taking classes about two times a week, but then as I've gotten old, I don't go to the classes anymore. But I do go to church every Sunday, and I pray, and I meditate. I meditate every morning. I have my rituals that I do. And God is just a part of my life. I've always been in church, so that's what keeps me going.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
All right.
For sharing. Does anybody, if there's anybody online who has a question or a comment for Frances, you know, just let us know. Okay. Hold on, Mom. We have someone who has a question for you.
All right.
Okay, there's a 773, a 425 number.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Solomon from New York.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. I remember you said something really key, and you said you really enjoy your life.
I do.
And I think that's even more so important than, you know, having fun in life, you know, not reckless fun, but, you know, having fun in life, you know. I think a lot of illness and sickness comes from, you know, a lot of worries and a lot of, you know, it starts off mentally. That's what I believe.
Mm.
And really enjoying your life and having fun and not, you know, certain things we're in control of and certain things we don't have any control of. And, you know, it seems to me that you really aren't a person that harbors a lot of things that you may not necessarily be in control of. You know what I mean? So you said, I think the key is enjoying your life and living your life. You know, it seems
and not, try, not worrying about stuff.
Exactly.
Worry does
exactly.
not help anything. I mean,
exactly.
I let go, let God, you know? And that just
exactly.
keeps me going.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I think that's really key.
And it's good you know? To... be in touch with your family members, you know, and join them also. Because if you need, everybody needs somebody.
Most definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. We always, you know, wherever we go, whenever we go out, we always know that if Frances goes, she's going to enjoy it. She is always going to enjoy it. She always finds the good in everything she does or every place that she goes, you know. And I noticed that, you know, years ago I noticed that she would, you know, where we might go and we're looking at things, or it might be a dance show or a concert or something, and we would look at the technical aspects of it and, you know, that kind of thing. And she would say, oh, it was so good. Wasn't that good? And, you know, nothing else but good. That's all she would see. And so I think that's a great strategy, you know, just to see the good in everything. As far as your health is concerned, you know, your mental health is concerned, is just to see the good in everything. I see another hand, 773752. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question for our guest. And
okay.
I'd like to know, what, in her opinion, what is it that got her to this attitude about living? That she got way back when she was a little girl, was it training from her parents, was it the teachings of her church, was she as a child, or was it her experiences as she grew up and started experiencing the adult things in life that brought her here? What is it that got her there, got her to where she is now?
I think because I had a good childhood. My mother and father, they were good people, and they instilled in us good values, you know, to see the good in everybody and treat people like you want to be treated, because what you send out comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you send out meanness, that's just what you're going to get. So I like to see the good in people and treat everybody the way I want to be treated and say good things about people instead of finding negatives. You know, because that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a good childhood. My parents instilled good values, and they saw to it that we went to church. And that's important for kids to go to church, Sunday school. That instills good things. And you always have something to fall back on and depend on if you know God. So I think that was helped me. Okay.
Did you have another question?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has a question for Frances? Great.
Yeah, this is Glenn.
Okay.
Frances, I wanted to know, do you like to laugh a lot?
All the time. I mean, because laughing is healthy for you. You know, it's good to have good belly laughs. I mean, to find humor and stuff instead of being sad and negative. I enjoy life. I enjoy being happy, and that makes you smile and laugh all the time. In fact, I can be walking down. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
I can be walking down the street and seem like people just smile at me. I must have a pleasant look on my face because I say, ooh, gee. But it's better to smile than be looking grumpy and everything. So I laugh. I really do.
I thought you might, because you sound, see, even though we're not face-to-face, I can hear over the phone that you've got a very light-hearted spirit.
Right.
You know, and when you said you enjoy life, I could hear it in who you're being. You
right.
know, one of the things that we talk about in the summit is that it who you're being gets communicated authentically. You know, we were talking a little earlier about authentic listening and authentic speaking, and who you're being speaks to people without words.
Right. I mean, and people can, they can see how you are by just looking at you, your appearance, you know.
Yes.
So it's,
yes,
it's good to have a good smile on your face rather than looking all grumpy and being mean.
Well, one of the things
that pays to be nice, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that my parents always taught me is that you can get more things with honey.
That is so true. Now that's a true saying. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, Mom, if you could share with them, is about appearance. Because I that's something else that just thinks, you know, you're always dressed. When you leave dressed for any occasion. Is that something that you were taught?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying when you leave the house, you are always dressed.
Oh, by all means, yes.
Mm-hmm. Your hair is always cut. You know, everything, you know, you're always prepared for wherever. You could go anywhere when you leave the house.
Right. Always put your best foot forward, you know, because, I mean, you never know who you're going to meet around the corner or anything. So always look your best, you know, instead of all funny looking. I mean, you should put your best foot forward and always look good and feel good and smell good, you know.
Okay. All right, well, are there any other questions that anyone has for Frances? Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate you, you know, you calling in and sharing with us.
Right.
And Frances is on track with her health. She eats good vegetables. She says she cooks her own food because she likes food that tastes good. You know, she exercises 2-3 times a week in her dance classes. She goes to church regularly. She thinks good thoughts. She finds the good in everything, and she's always dressed when she walks out the door. So we can, you know, so she can go wherever she wants to go, you know, in a day's time. And those are certainly some techniques, I guess, that everybody can use because I think it all has to do with your health, your physical health, you know. It all has something to do how you think, how you speak, how you look, you know, makes you feel better even if you might be having a physical challenge. If you do all the rest of those things, that should lift you up, you know. So thank you so much.
You're welcome anytime.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Love you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show. We're on track with Henrietta Berg, Glenn Greenwich, Claire Lyons Devine, and Chakesha Showers. And just to take a moment to tell you to, you know, go to our website at blacksummit.org to find out information about the summit event in London, England, the first weekend in August 2009. And also, there's other information there. We also have 3-4 other shows every month. The first week is On Track with Henrietta Berg. The second week is Let's Celebrate with Chakesha Showers. A third week is Vision Works with Claire Lyons Devine. And the fourth week is Man of the Month with Glenn Greenwich. We also on the second and fourth Tuesdays have Wealth. It's all about wealth. And Glenn is in New York. And he always has these wonderful people who talk about wealth and how to build wealth and what to do with the wealth that you have or, you know, all different facets of that. Claire's show, and I guess I could let them tell you a little bit about it themselves. Claire, you want to talk about your show just a minute?
Hi. Vision Works airs, as Henrietta said, the third Sunday of every month.
And it's basically an opportunity for people to share what their vision is for the Black community and for the world and what people are up to. So we have a range of different topics from people who are involved in community service, family services, you know, just a wide range of different topics. So if you have a vision that you're implementing in your community in the world, I invite you to join us and share what you're up to.
Great. And is Jakaysha still on?
I don't see her.
Okay. And Glenn, would you tell us about the Man of the Month and the Wealth Club?
Certainly. Let's start off with the Man of the Month. The Man of the Month is on the fourth Sunday, as Henrietta has said, and has given us some gracious time to speak about. What we're focusing in on are people, specifically men in the community, that are the movers and shakers and are impacting the community. They're doing things in the community. We like to feature them. This month we're going to have Ade Face on, who is out of New York, youth at risk, and he's also got he's attended the International Black Summit, as well as he's also got some other spiritual insights that he's going to be sharing with us. He's also part of the National Black Theater in Harlem, New York. So he's going to be a very interesting subject to talk about. He's got some exciting things that he's up to in life, and he's a very spiritual brother. In fact, he and I went to Brazil together. So that's coming up on the 24th. And for the Wealth Club on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, what we focus on is financial intelligence. We're looking to increase your financial intelligence that ultimately can impact your net worth. What I'd like to do is I'd like to bring conversations, educational conversations, and insightful conversations. It could be investment opportunities. It could be business people sharing what they're up to and making themselves successful. It also could be tools that you can use to be successful. You know, the internet is a very powerful thing. So we had a guest who was talking about social networking. So, I mean, they're all things that are relevant to impacting your net worth, be it your own business or a business that you're working in or investing in. Thank you, Henrietta.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both. And Jakaysha's show is a celebration. You know, she celebrates an individual or several individuals on the second Sunday of every month. And they're, you know, always, she always finds a way to you know, pull out the uniqueness in individuals. So you'll enjoy, you know, you'll enjoy every show every week. And also remember, these shows are also archived, so you can go back and listen to the ones that have already, you know, that we've done already this year. And my recommendation is for everyone to listen to the Christmas show, the Christmas music show, so you can hear the gentleman who called in and sang Jingle Bells and Pig Latin. That is, that's still one of my favorites. Okay. But it's archived. It's under Christmas music, favorite Christmas music in the December. But we have a lot of fun and we learn a lot. You know, we share a lot of information and we receive a lot of information. So we invite everyone to join us regularly at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time every Sunday evening for International Black Summit Talk Show. So now we'll move to our next person who's on track, and this is this segment is on profession, being on track in your profession, and this is Sheila, and Sheila, I'll just give you a little bit of information, just a little bit, and let her give you the rest. But Sheila made a decision last year to create something for herself in professionally, and she moved from taking two planes and a bus to work, something that might have taken her 3 hours to moving into something that's maybe 15 minutes away that she loves. And to watch her or to hear her talk about these train rides and missing a train and having to wait 2 and 3 hours for the next train to moving into something that's about 15, 20 minutes away or one train stop away, I guess it is now, you know, and to be in a profession that she loves, I'd like for her to share with you. Sheila?
Yes, Henrietta.
You are on the air, okay. Can you just tell us, like last year this time, what you were doing as far as traveling and your profession and, you know, that kind of thing?
Yes, I can. Last year at this time, I was suddenly without a job, and I worked in a suburb of Chicago, live in another suburb of Chicago. The ride in the car was approximately 18 minutes. Trying to find another route to get to this job that really wasn't a job to me, I loved it so much I would do it for free if I was independently wealthy. But at this point, was taking 2 trains and walking. It took me about 2 hours, 2.5 hours minimum to get to the job, and there were times when it really wasn't worth it financially. But as I said, I was committed to the job in the fashion industry, and it was actually my first retail position. I'd never worked in any retail industry before, and it was as much of a challenge as I anticipated, having been on the earth a little bit longer than most of the other people applying for jobs. But I really thought that this was where I needed to be. After I was interviewed and got the job, they give you these manuals and, you know, the paperwork, and they get distributed to a new employee, and they handed me a card, and this card told me why I was a perfect fit for this position in this and sales and retail. And there's all these different words in different colors and different type: positive attitude, confidence, individual commitment, self-discipline, random acts of kindness, personal growth, most amazing personal service, achieving goals, innovative energy, entrepreneurial spirit, creativity, overcoming obstacles, honesty, fun, trust, respect for all, communication, fairness, developing others, and recognition. When I saw and read this card, I knew that I had the same goals that the company that I was working for did, and I saw no reason that I would want to ever leave. However, mm-hmm. not in the plan. So I attempted to keep working, thinking that eventually it will happen and I'll be able to get another car and be able to get back to the 18-minute journey. Led on, and by the end of August, I thought I better start looking for something else. Not working. And I began applying for every, and going to every job fair and applying to different positions, wondering if maybe I needed to go into a different industry or maybe I needed to go back to some of the former positions that I had held in the past. Eventually, I was asked to go into a partnership with a person that I've been knowing not very well, but knowing for almost 20 years, and didn't know that she had a dream of 20 years to open up a consignment store. I thought, this is a great idea, you should do this. And she said, no, I want you to help me. I can't do it without you. Well, I had been writing my, I had started writing my resignation, and I got to a point where I couldn't finish it, and I had only written a few lines. But one night on the walk home, because I had missed my train stop, gave me the exact words I needed for my resignation. And I knew immediately that this was what I needed to write. So I had enough energy when I walked in the door to sit down and write. I literally was laid across the bed and wrote down all the words that the spirit within me said, these are the words you need to give them for your resignation. And the reason why it was such a challenge for me, because I wanted to express the fact that I really liked being there, that I appreciated each individual staff member in a different aspect of working there, and that I appreciated them as well. But in the same time, I was looking forward to something different in the future. And they accepted my resignation. I still wasn't sure about where I was going at the time that I submitted it, but they wished me well, and they knew within the next 2 weeks that they would be, you know, preparing to give me my exit papers. As I started working with the consignment store and the opening of it and approved, looking at property and the buildings and what we were going to have in the store, it was indeed a challenge. I really didn't have any degree in management or business administration or any of those things, and I was amazed that I was just, I think, just dropped into this position as another entrepreneurial and exciting time that most entrepreneurs, you know, venture into things that really they like. And what I like is fashion. One of the things that I like is fashion. I did have a background doing advertising, working in an advertising department at one point, so it was even more exciting to be back on the computer again with a computer software that I didn't even know existed for consignment. So everything was just falling into my lap unexpectedly. I made more money in 1 month. Excuse me. I made more money in 2 weeks than I did in a month at the other place. And I felt that this was anointed and appointed. The other place had its season, and it was over, but I was well prepared to do what I needed to do in the next chapter of this book.
So it's interesting, you know, that at the consignment store, the reason I thought Sheila's story was so interesting was because everything that she has ever done, she's able to do at this consignment store. You know, it's like, you know, we always talk about God preparing us, you know, that everything we do now is preparation for something in the future. And as I would talk to her every day, she would share with me that she's doing advertising, you know, everything she learned to do at the retail level, she was able to do. I watched the consignment store transform, oh my God, into this beautiful, beautiful place. You know, it reminds me of one of the boutiques they used to have back in the day, you know, the specialty boutiques. And, you know, there's it's like such a, I mean, it's nothing like I thought consignment was, and actually nothing like I've experienced in other consignment stores. It reminds me of a boutique, you know, a kind of a specialty boutique where you go in and you get this one-on-one attention, you know, which you really don't get much, even at the retail level. But they make appointments for you. You come in, you know, bring your things. It is really, really a great experience. The other thing was just listening to Sheila and how she continued to work at this place, even though it was very challenging to travel back and forth. But she continued to do it, and it was almost like, you know, I always tell her, I said, it's almost like you were putting money in the bank, you know. It was like, even the way she left, you know, where she had to have the correct words, and she spoke about each individual, you know, it was almost like, you know, working the law, because there was something greater. I mean, were you aware that something great was going to happen, or is this just the way you are?
I had no idea what the future held for me, but I wanted to recognize that each person, as I have been taught about the divinity of man, that each person should be recognized in their own right, and that the knowledge that I gained with the customer's interaction was important, and I didn't really realize what I was walking into until two or three incidents, and I'll briefly tell you. One woman came into the retail store, and I approached her with our regular, you know, things, a little script we have to say, and she looked at me and said, "My husband is drinking again." So I didn't stop or hesitate. I just put my hand on her shoulder and said, "That's just okay. Stay as long as you want. Walk around the store and look at all the lovely things and relax." Another time, a person came in and said that not been shopping in a while, and the couple of family members were having challenges. One had made his transition, and she had not been shopping, and she had asked for the handicapped dressing room, although she was not handicapped physically. And I told her to go in, and moments later when I checked on her and she told me that, I thought she was going to burst into tears. So I just quietly closed the door. I said, "It's okay. Stay and try on as many things as you want. Enjoy. And enjoy your shopping experience with us." And so those things led me to know that it was more than just selling a T-shirt to a customer. It's more than, this seems to be a ministry to me. Because now that I'm in the consignment store, I have people coming in for prayer. It amazes me. They come in saying, "Oh, I left my earrings that I bought," and it turns out that they didn't buy the earrings. They're still in the display case, and they really came for prayer, because that's what it ended up being. So I really am thankful to God that He has given me these creative words to say, to pray with people and give them affirmations without throwing a Bible at them or even necessarily giving them any scripture. But some days I have to just walk away and say, "Excuse me one moment," and go into the area and listen and wait for God. And it works if you're working.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful story. I mean, an experience. Tell us a little bit about consignment, exactly what that means.
Well, our consignment store takes in items that people have in their homes and they no longer want them or they no longer need them, but have value. There's clothing, tags on them that have been sitting in someone's closet and they realize they're never going to wear them. We give them a percentage of the agreed selling price and then we put it on the floor for sale. We try to have the very nice quality merchandise from women's and juniors clothing to small furnishings, lamps. We have things from chandeliers to rugs, household items. And just 3 weeks ago, we opened up our cafe area, and we have Intelligentsia coffee and organic teas from Ambassador Organics so that people can come in and relax. We're right across from the metro station, the train station that goes through to Chicago and out to the south suburbs as far as Joliet. So we try to make people feel that they're very welcome. I think they're a little taken aback when we come out from behind the register and greet them and shake their hand and introduce our staff. And we try to make the windows as attractive as any retail store on in downtown Chicago. We're quite selective about the merchandise that we take, and we watch how things sell and or don't sell. And we have a wonderful time just making the store attractive and making it desirable for the people to come in. Some people don't even realize that most of the items are previously owned because they're in such good condition and cleaned and steamed and displayed as we know how.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful place to experience. Give us the address.
The address is 3824 West 147th Street in Midlothian, Illinois.
And the phone number?
708-371-0300. We're open Tuesdays, Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, and 10 to 5, and we're closed, but we have our appointments for consigners on Mondays, so they have their personal private time, and they can also shop while they're bringing in their inventory, too.
Okay. And just one more time, Sheila, can you just tell us about your focus, because that's what we're talking about, people, you know, those of you who just focused and stayed on track. Like, if there was anything that you could share with us looking back in hindsight, you know, that got you from last year to this year, what would it be?
One of the things that I think is most important is to recognize your passion. We realize we love to do, and the things that we would do for free are the things that we excel in, and those are the things, that's where our wealth is. Our passion is number one. And I decided a while ago not to do anything that I don't enjoy. One of the things that really topped this whole thing off as far as being able to work in the fashion industry, be on the computer, maintaining our inventory, is that I also have a passion for flowers. And I was so surprised when one of the officers in the community, I think the health inspector, came over and said, would you adopt the flower planter that's outside in front of your building? And I thought, this is the ultimate. I was missing being able to plant flowers and dig in the dirt. And here
right.
I am doing everything I love to do and still being in the choir.
Well, that's a good, you know, that's so important. And it's interesting how it's like they used to say back in the day, you can always make money if you have money. You know, if you have money, you can make money, you know, and it's like once, it's like you have a job, you can get a job, you know, you can, you know, it's like that. And so you had, first of all, like what I say, you kept putting money in the bank by going to work every day, even though it wasn't financially, you know, what you wanted. Traveling wasn't, but you did it anyway. You know, there's something about that you continued to do it anyway until you found the right words to say and then you moved on. And then it's like as soon as you did that, everything else started opening up for you.
This is the law of demonstration.
Yeah, that's right.
Having to commute long gave me an opportunity to practice the presence for three or four, going to work and coming home. So I had a lot of conversations with God, and some of them were not really nice.
Okay.
But I think some of it was, you know, beating myself over the head. Why am I doing this? God, I don't like this. God.
Right.
I had a lot of conversations, but as the scripture says, he'll never leave you. If you in heaven, there he is. If you make your bed in hell, which walking down Michigan Avenue trying to get to the train was
right.
But just recognizing that, okay, what else would you want to do? And as many applications as I put out there, it didn't happen until this the consignment store became part of my journey.
Well, thank you so much. Let me say that this is the International Black Summit talk show, and we're on track with Henrietta Byrd, Glenn Greenwich, Claire Lyons Devon, and Chakaysha Showers. If there's anyone who has a question or comment for Sheila, who's on track professionally, anybody who has a question or comment, you know, push the number one, and we can see that, you know, you would like to speak or share. Okay, we have 1-773-487. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. How are you?
I'm great.
Wonderful. My name is Carolyn Arthur. And I was delighted to hear Sheila's story.
Okay.
And I do know her personally.
Okay.
And I would just like to say that, you know, one of the qualities that I love about her is that she has perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
And in life, that's definitely what you need. In your darkest hours, no matter what situation she's been in, she's always managed to just say, okay, this is a temporary condition, and I'm going to move on. And I'd like for Sheila to just share with the audience basically what kept you going in all of the adversity that you were involved with. What kept you, that light shining for you?
Well, some people say I'm extremely stubborn. Don't give up, really. I'm not one of those that says, oh, this doesn't work. And thank you for that. I do persevere. I try to hang in there. When I make a commitment,
yeah.
A commitment. I signed the dotted line that says, yes, I'm willing to work with for you at that retail store, and I was not going to disappoint them or myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those that was hired over 50 years old, young, however you want to determine it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't necessarily enthusiastic about that fact that I was job searching at that point in my life. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this because I don't like living in guilt, and I'm not going to shoulda, woulda, and say what if. So,
mm-hmm.
Challenge.
Yeah. And Henrietta, I would just like to say to you that it's important that you have people in your life, and God puts people, not, it's not by happenstance or circumstances that you meet someone. And there were a number of times that I was with Sheila, and I thought to myself, could I persevere going through snowstorms, taking trains and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, God put me in her life sometimes when she really needed a ride or
right.
someone to say that, you know, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
See, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love her perseverance, like I said, and oftentimes people just really don't know that, you know, in your darkest hours when you think that no one's there, God is always there for you. And
yeah.
He puts little angels in your path.
Yeah. See, you brought another element to the story because, you know, for people, because the listeners who are on tonight are from everywhere. And you brought in something, another element, which was the weather, the Chicago weather. This was all done in the winter time where there was below zero,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was snow everywhere, and she had to walk sometimes. 2 hours from one train station to get to the store or to the house, or if she missed one train because she didn't get off
mm-hmm.
until a certain time, then she'd have to take another train, and it wouldn't stop at the stop that was close to her house, so that she would walk, and sometimes it was 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that, you know, that does a lot more for this story that, you know, it kind of paints a different picture. And I think, you know, I understand what you mean, because so many times when I talk to her, I feel like, God, you know, should I get up? And, you know, because I don't live close by
mm-hmm.
her. But there were so many times where I would just want to get up and just go and get her and take her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood, you know, I understand journeys, and journeys are individual. And, you know, one thing about Sheila, she will ask for what she needs
mm-hmm.
sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes. And I should say all the time, because if she needs it, she, you know, it's just that she doesn't need it that often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a great, you know, I think a great example
mm-hmm.
for us to, you know, to follow when we're, you know, when we're struggling or when we're in a particular struggle about anything, is just keep going and put your best. It's like Francis said earlier, you know, you look your best, you know, you feel your best, you find the best in everything that you do. And you know, the stories are almost parallel, because that's exactly, you know, Sheila was kind of doing the exact same thing, and then, you know, we looked up and it was all over. You know, it was like over.
Right.
And wonderful.
Right.
So, you know, thank you. Thank you for asking her that question and sharing. And we have about 16 minutes left to the program. Sheila is our only guest who's still on the line. So if you have any questions for Sheila, please, you know, press number one and raise your hand. And Solomon, I'm going to open your line because I don't, your hand was raised from earlier, so I don't know if you have another question or not, because I can't tell, but I'll open your line because you are another person who's on a journey. And in New York right now. Solomon is from Chicago, and just, you know, one of the loves of my life. You know, he's my son. he's my son. He and my daughter went to prom together their freshman year. So, you know, he is a magnificent dancer, which is why he's in New York. And he and my daughter danced together in high school, you know. They went to the performing arts school here in Chicago, and I'm so glad to have you on the line. Can you kind of bring us up to date with what's going on with you?
Okay, well, basically around this time last year, I think I explained that to you before, but, I mean, for everybody else, around this time last year, I just finished my second year in college, and at that time, you know, I guess you could say the financial crisis kind of got to me at that time. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and so to make a long story short, I left. I was away at school in Miami at a performing arts school in conjunction with University of Florida, and I guess it wasn't in the plan for me to continue there, so I ended up joining a company. And lo and behold, it wasn't necessarily the right place for me. And so, of course, you know, in life we do get discouraged, and I mean, it's only human to get discouraged and have, you know, feelings of doubt and whatever the case. But came back home to Chicago for, I want to say, a good 5 months, and worked, got myself together, reflected, really focused on what I wanted to do and where I really wanted to be, and ended up moving to New York, and ended up getting a fellowship, which is a scholarship, to train the place that I always wanted to train, the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, with this school to get a, so I ended up getting a fellowship, and here I am now. And basically through that journey, I talked to you, Mama Bird, Reverend Bird, and I talked to other people, other healers and counselors, and really in life it's good to talk to people so that it can be reiterated to you. Sometimes we need reinforcement, positive reinforcement in our life. And it's good to get counsel. Even when you think you have it under control, you know, it's really good to talk and express what's going on in your life, and really try to maintain a positive outlook, and really have to expect greater things in life. And really, I really had to put emphasis on what I really wanted in life so that I can attract it to me, so that it can come back to me. So I really have to throw some positive seeds out there, really keep a positive attitude, say my affirmations, and really focus on what I really wanted. And here I am. And so as of right now, I've been here for a month, and everything is falling into order, and all I can say is thank the universe, thank God, you know, because it was a long time coming, but everything happens for a reason, and in life, you know, it's only natural that you go through, you know, certain, I want to say, I guess you could say goofy moments in life where things aren't going the way you wanted them to. But in the end, when you maintain that positive, when you maintain a positive outlook and expect something greater in the time of, I want to say, for lack of a better word, a storm or, you know, some type of, you know, period of hell in your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just really enjoying, and also enjoying going back to, was Francis? Or no?
Yeah.
Saying that she enjoys life, and certain things she might not be in control of, she doesn't let it get to her, you know. So that's where I am now, and life is good so far, so I'm still trying to sow those positive seeds so I can get
keep working it. Right. You have a formula. You know, you just keep working it. Keep working it at every level that you go to. There'll be other challenges and other appearances, but that's all they are. You know, they're just appearances. They're not real, you know. And so you keep affirming and you keep being intentional about what you want. And, you know, and it will manifest itself. And you'll generate, you know, you'll self-generate what you need. That's what Sheila did. You know, that's what Frances does. You know, the two couples that I talked about earlier in the show, you know, they're working it. You know, they're working toward it. You know, they didn't let their circumstances interfere with their wanting to be or continuing to be a family in one case and a couple in the other case. You know, they didn't let the distance make a difference for them. And so, you know, I think it's that attitude that Frances talked about of seeing the good in everything, you know, like in hell, you know, when you know you're in hell, it feels like hell, it looks like hell, it smells like hell, you know.
Right.
Okay. And just saying, okay, hell ain't so bad, you know. it's not so hot. It's not as hot as I thought it was going to be, you know. And just really, really looking at that. It's so nice to hear from you and to, you know, to hear what you're doing. And we'll talk, you know, we'll talk more after this show. But I would just like to thank everyone who's on the show tonight. And also I'm going to open up the lines because someone did tell me that sometimes pushing the number one does not work. So all of the lines are open now if anyone would like to make a comment or have a question. Just, you know, I just want to make sure nobody's trying and can't get in. But again, this is International Black Summit Talk Show, and you're on track with Henrietta Byrd, Glenn Greenwich, Claire Lyons, Devon, and Trakesha Showers, our traveling host. Glenn, how's everything going with you over there?
It's going great. You know, one of the things that I wanted to share, as we go through life, life will give us obstacles, and how we are with those obstacles is generally an indication of how we are in having our life turn out. Mm-hmm. And Frances talked about it, you know, bringing that positive attitude and having fun with life and just enjoying life and coming forth with it. And so I know when I look, it's how I am in relation to that problem that will actually get it resolved. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I mean, I agree. Clara, are you muted? I'm not sure if you're muted or not.
I'm here, and
I just
wanted to acknowledge Sheila and Frances, and I, you know, I keep going back to this point about authentic listening, and when sister was sharing about how she opened a consignment shop, and she was really in the business of providing a ministry, you know, where people could come and get prayer. You know, that's like such a demonstration of authentic listening, to really listen to what, you know, life is giving you. And, you know, when we listen to what Spirit gives us and what God gives us, you know, that's the greatest gift. That's the greatest give back, you know, that we can do. So I want to commend her, one, on being on track, you know, with her life's purpose and being able to live her passion. And in Vision Works, you're definitely doing your Vision Works. I want to commend you for that. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. And is there anybody else who had a comment? You can just speak. Okay. Okay, so we have.
I just want to thank
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the callers. I really appreciate it, and I'm happy to be able to be on the show, because if I were at the other store, I would still be traveling, even though the store closed about 2.5 hours ago. I would still be trying to get home.
I know. That is really something. Yeah.
I just want to talk to Sheila about the courage that it took for her to follow her instinct and follow what Spirit was having her say and see and do. In life, people are not always available to themselves to listen to what Spirit is asking. And so I just want to acknowledge you, Sheila, for following Spirit and just to allow Spirit and God to direct you and to guide you into what was next for you, and allowing yourself and having the courage and allowing yourself to get there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And Solomon, you know, I so want to acknowledge you, because, you know, I know what you all are going through. College students, you know, are going through, and especially ones that are in the arts, you know, because that's something that's dear and near to my heart, in my household, you know.
Exactly. I know.
So, I mean, you all are courageous in so many different ways, and I so appreciate the fact that you pushed through to get to New York like you wanted to, you know. And I know everything will be wonderful. I mean, it'll be greater than you ever expected, because you did it. You know, you're doing it, and just continue to do it. And, you know, we look forward to seeing you in the next time we go to see Ailey. Next March.
Hopefully.
March. I'm putting that out there.
Yeah,
okay?
I'll let me receive it, too.
Okay. I'm putting it out there. They're always in Chicago in March, so.
Okay.
Right. You know. And, you know, just keep on. And everybody else who's listening today, you know, On Track is a program where we come together the first Sunday of every month to share different ways, different things that we're doing, what we're about, you know, if we're on track, if we've crashed, you know, if we've just had a derailment, and somebody on the line will get us back on track, you know, or something that somebody says, you know, will get us on track. And sometimes you have to hear things 200 times before they really click. You know, and like Clara said earlier, because of the way we listen. So, you know, join us any Sunday, you know. But on first Sundays, we're on track, and that's what we talk about. But we're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Central Time, and every second and fourth Tuesday at 5:30 Central Time. 5:30 Central Time, so make the adjustments, you know, the way they occur. And remember to share the program with other people and let them know that these programs are archived and they can go back to Blog Talk Radio at any time, put the date and the time of the show, or just put International Black Summit Talk Show and pull up whatever show they want to hear. And listen, you know, re-listen to it. If you have any ideas for our show, we'd be glad to have it. There's a place, if you go to blacksummit.org, where you can send us an email. You know, you send it to talk show team Black Summit. Don't forget the summit event that's in London the first weekend in August. It begins on July 30th. So thank you to all of the guests, Solomon, Sheila, Francis, all of the people who shared, who had questions, to my co-hosts, Glenn, Clara, and Shakesha. I thank you, and thank you for taking this hour and a half out of your beautiful holiday weekend to share with us at the International Black Summit. Was someone trying to say something?
Great show.
Okay. Thank you. And God bless.
And I would like to say I want to thank Sheila for inviting me to participate. This is some, I mean, I've never heard of this talk radio show, and I want to thank you, Henrietta, for being the conduit where we can have these conversations.
Oh, thank you. And Lucia
yeah,
speaking.
You.
Okay. Thank you. And tune in again. You know, tune in again.
I'll tell a lot of my friends about it.
Okay, great. We appreciate that and appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, enjoy the rest of the evening.
You too.
All right. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great show. Great,
great show.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
Thank you, Reverend Byrd.
Thank you. I'll call you in about 30 minutes, okay?
Okay, cool.
All right.